Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 26th of May, recording at 9:59 p.m., and that's British summer time. Now, this being my last day in the office, effectively, I'm in very briefly tomorrow, but we've got an AGM, and then I'm off to Copenhagen. This is going to be my big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. But first, just a quick review of today's highlights. Now, Asian stock markets ranging at best to soft, the main exception. Singapore has been a main exception, but it's backed away from the high, and India. India continues to push back towards its high. Now, European stock markets, though, are where we've seen the steadiest performance of all. They were, generally speaking, the first to recover, regain their highs. And following Finland's lead on the upside, we have also seen the Swiss SMI moved to a new high, and the French CAC. There may have been a couple of others. I didn't check them all, but it's a very firm sector with good gains in here today. Although one exception, or one possible interesting development, is that Finland, which had been the first European market to break upwards, largely led by Nokia during this tech and telecoms recovery. Yesterday, Nokia had a small downside key day reversal. Okay, elsewhere, what's really interesting? The dollar, still firm in here, dollar index extending its recovery here today. Despite that, silver has remained firm. And other precious metals, though, are all a bit easier, but not that much. And the grain and bean complex is very firm, particularly soybeans, which had some excellent upside follow through today, following yesterday's big gains. And demand from China has been one of the factors. Okay, now, what about the big global theme overall? Well, I'll be quick on that in the sense that you've heard it before, can certainly access it in previous audios. But one of my big themes is that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, long described me as a generational long re-rating process during which PE ratios contract and yields rise, not in linear fashion, but in a series of rolling waves where we get some medium-term rallies and then some bungee jumps to the downside, more medium-term rallies, but there's a glass ceiling more often than not beneath the previous highs. In the case of the NASDAQ, we aren't going to get anywhere near the 2000 highs. They may not be taken out for another 30 years or more. Okay, now subsectors within the stock market theme that are really quite important. Supply and elasticity is one of my big themes, and also rapid growth in the emerging markets. And some of the emerging markets are involved in the supply and elasticity field. For instance, take Indonesia. It's a big exporter of oil. Brazil produces not only minerals but agricultural commodities, and we can say that about a number of emerging markets. These are the hot areas. You've got the secular bull market in natural resources, which come mainly from, but although not exclusively, from emerging markets. The supply and elasticity theme is extremely good for the Australian stock market as well. So these are important themes. And then among all emerging markets, in terms of risks and rewards, governance is always a key consideration. And if governance gives investors cause for concern, and you've got that in China, and you've got that in Russia, then even very, very attractively priced assets may not do all that well. That said, Russia's picking up, but that's by virtue of the fact that oil prices are beginning to steady again, and a number of metal prices are generally quite firm. So those are my two big themes: the Asian emerging markets and the supply and elasticity markets. Now, long-term bull, and I am a long-term bull of those sectors, I think could ride them out, adding to positions on the dips, maybe lightening a little bit on the rallies. You could just sit pat with positions there, but it will certainly be a roller coaster ride from time to time, as we've seen since March with the big sell-off that occurred in the resources stocks. Now, to my mind, that's a buying opportunity, provided we don't get too big a downward move on Wall Street, and that does remain a risk. I know it's been very strong recently, since those third week in April lows. But this is a turbulent period. Medium-term period for global stock markets definitely remains turbulent. I think there's a bit of complacency in the markets about the end of the rising interest rate cycle. That's certainly not the case for the United States. And every upward tick on Wall Street, and it had another good day in here today, is going to remove doubts on the part of the Fed about the wisdom of actually raising interest rates. And I also, of course, will repeat that important point about first 2 years of a presidential election term. That's when the stables are cleaned, usually, in terms of some readjustment of policy, some cutbacks in spending, trying to rein government budget deficits in a little bit. And that could still be a factor to weigh on the market. So again, I maintain that we're unlikely to see a disaster, but this is a period where the downside risks probably outweigh the upside scope, and that's likely to persist well into the first quarter of 2006, and probably beyond. So one wants to be careful in here in that overall environment. Now, what about the rally that we've got right now? Well, we had a short-term sell-off from the March highs of the Nasdaq. Had started a little early. That's an important lead indicator. The Nasdaq leads in both directions more often than not, and it has been leading upwards recently, and it extended those gains in here today. It's looking a bit overstretched, it is overbought, but there is no technical evidence yet that it's over. There's a lot of technical evidence to say that it's close to the end of this run, but not that it's over. So we need to watch that quite closely. And incidentally, while I'm away tomorrow, and so there's no commentary, and I'm also away on Monday due to the UK holiday, and I'll need a little rest after that 2-day seminar over the weekend. So I won't be back until Tuesday, but you can continue to monitor those our comprehensive chart library. Those charts are updated automatically. Now, getting back to the big global themes in here, I pretty much wrapped that up on in terms of stock markets. Risky period. Can't say this rally is over yet, this short-term rally. It's definitely not given any negative signals, but the overbought readings are increasing, and the former highs can be expected to provide some additional resistance. Now, a key, though, to stock markets, and something I have stressed throughout, I said that if we were to see firm bond markets, then that would argue more for arranging stock markets, possibly arranging with a downward bias. And conversely, I've also said that if the government bond markets were quite weak, that that would probably weigh heavily on global stock markets. Now, we've had a heck of a run on the upside in terms of government bond prices, and it's still too soon to say that it's over, but they're looking more overstretched than the stock market rally, and there have been some downward dynamics that haven't broken the back of the rally but have slowed it up. And normally, when you get that type of action against an overbought condition, in what is, if we look at continuation charts of prices, and I've often posted those, is what is primarily an extensive ranging process beneath the June 2003 highs for bond prices, so above those levels for government bond yields. I maintain that there's a lot of complacency in the market regarding rates of inflation, and just look at the CRB data that's beginning to emerge now, but more on that in a moment. I maintain that people are also complacent about the demand for these bonds that we are going to see coming from Japan and China, particularly if the dollar continues to rally. And I maintain that bond investors are also complacent in terms of the effect of the heavy supply that we're going to continue to see. So really, at these levels, I feel the bond markets are pretty much priced for perfection. There are plenty of people who don't agree with me on that, and that's what makes a market. But technically and fundamentally, I maintain that this is an overstretched market. And bonds will be very important for stock markets, because if I'm wrong on that, let's say I'm wrong on that, and if I am, then long-dated yields go lower. That will almost certainly help stock markets to rise further as they discount a little bit more the next cycle of downward interest rates. Now, we're really at what I would call that sort of peering over the curve of the interest rate cycle phase with these US interest rates. In other words, people are already saying they can see the top, they can see beyond that, and are beginning to say, or have been re saying recently, that the next move downwards in interest rates is going to exceed the additional upside risk, and that the next downward move is probably all that not. Not is probably not all that far away. Well, I'd be a little bit careful about jumping to that conclusion. One reason for that, let's take complacency as far as inflation is concerned. Now, the oil price is firming. We certainly haven't seen anything explosive in here, but that contango, which I identified over a month ago, saying this is bearish. Here, oil prices, which had been in backwardations for a long time, moved into a contango, indicating that the shortage was of nearby refined oil was over, and that led to the additional correction. And if you've been listening regularly to these audios, you'll know that last week and this week I've been saying that we were in a region where I wouldn't be at all surprised to see firmer oil prices. And they have been edging up against a background of a narrowing contango, but there is still a contango there, so no shortage. There's also been a little talk coming from OPEC about possibly reducing production somewhat. OPEC will certainly want to keep the price of oil above $50 a barrel. Now, therefore, I think we've seen the main part of the downward move, and that the next significant move in oil prices is much more likely to be upwards. Now, also, we have a potentially explosive move underway in this grain and bean complex, of which soybeans are very definitely leading the way. There's no contango in the soybeans, which, as I've emphasized in the last few days, indicates real demand that's coming. That's not hedge fund buying that's causing that. They're not carting away the soybeans, but the Chinese are. Very heavy demand coming in from China, and they've been light buyers really for quite a while. Now, certainly we're seeing some sympathy moves that are also further propelled by weather in corn and in wheat. These agricultural commodities are historically really quite cheap, and a move upwards in those sectors would certainly raise a few eyebrows at the Fed and elsewhere. And if we start seeing food costs, well, we have been seeing food costs go up, but that would add some pressure on food prices. So again, I've maintained that there's a lot of complacency around regarding inflation. Now, in the CRB, copper's actually the only industrial metal represented there, but it has firmed up quite a bit here in the last week or so, and a number of other metals are firm generally. Now, the backwardations also persist, and that's copper, nickel, tin and lead, those are all in backwardations. And interestingly, that while aluminium, which had been in backwardation, slipped into a small contango, that zinc is just about square. In other words, no contango, no backwardation, but that had long been in a contango, so that demand for zinc is increasing. Now, a lot of this demand is coming from emerging countries, and that's China. Also India, but the US GDP figures for the quarter were revised upwards, so there's still a little bit of steam in this global economy. And again, firm commodity prices that would indicate that perhaps people have been well, that they have perhaps over stated the case for economic slowdown, let alone a hard landing in China at this stage, which I have not expected. And therefore, growth might be a little better, more in terms of inflationary pressures, and talk of interest rate cuts in the UK and Europe could fade away. But most importantly, I think we could well see further hikes in US interest rates than people were, say, forecasting a couple of weeks ago. And you know what it was like. Before the March sell-off in stock markets, people were looking for some quite significant increases in interest rates. Then we got the sell-off, and people said, "Oh my goodness, the economy's slowing down. We're practically at the top of the interest rate cycle." And now I think, given the stock market rally, given the strength that we're starting to see in some of the commodities and the firming up of the CRB index after quite a significant pullback, may well cause them to reassess that outlook for interest rates. Now, these industrial commodities I've emphasized over and over again. These are the supply and elasticity trades. This is a major secular bull market. As an overall strategy, I think that we can buy the companies. But we can buy the natural resources after setbacks, and I think you can also buy the stocks after significant setbacks. Now, again, if Wall Street or when Wall Street next heads south, that will drag down all markets with it in all probability. But these resources sectors will bounce back fast. And from one of them, for instance, one that I have, British Petroleum, and that came down with the oil price, but it's regained most of the decline and pushed back up well ahead of the actual oil price. I think that's the type of action that we're likely to see. So I would say this entire resources sector, remains and is likely to remain a buy following these periodics and significant medium-term shakeouts. And I think that's pretty much it. I'm just trying to know, well, I haven't mentioned the gold market and other precious metals. I did say earlier that silver was firm in here today. That's the one that I play as a high beta, a gold proxy. We still have this extremely important headwind in the form of the US dollar's rally. And while the US dollar continues to rally, gains are likely to be few and far between. I'm pleasantly surprised, as someone who's long silver, I'm pleasantly surprised by the firmness of that market. And actually, palladium's pretty steady in here today. It's range bound, but we're up to 184 in here today. So there, these remain steady, but there is a headwind. So I think any gains, such as we saw with silver yesterday and today, are going to be difficult to maintain while that US dollar continues to rally. Once this dollar rally peaks, and I'm not going to try to guess when or at what level that's going to be, I'll suffice it to say there's absolutely no evidence that this dollar rally has peaked. But when it does peak, then I think the gains in these precious metals will be quite significant. Now, there's a possible clue that we're not all that far away from a peak in the dollar, but this is just a clue and it doesn't come from any of the currency charts whatsoever. But it certainly some investors are moving back into some of these depressed gold mining shares, and that's not a bad idea because they did fall a lot further than the metal. They're much more volatile, of course, but they are firming up and they are cheap, as you saw in that graphic that Owen put up yesterday, relative to the metal. Now, as I said a moment ago, that does indicate that some investors are looking beyond a high. This is my interpretation at any rate, that they're looking beyond a high for the US dollar. They could be wrong in that, of course, and I could be wrong in my interpretation. So as to say, it's only a clue. To keep both feet firmly on the ground, I will repeat that we need to see some very clear ending characteristics for this US dollar rally, including some emphatic downward dynamics, and that's certainly not the case at the moment. All right, folks, that's it from me for a week, and my next audio will be on Tuesday. All the best of luck to all of you.